There's a creature that has walked beside humanity for 10,000 years, transforming garbage into sustenance, thriving in every climate from tropical islands to frozen forests, and shaping the course of empires. Yet this same animal has been alternately worshipped, despised, legally executed, and used as a weapon of conquest. The pig story isn't just about agriculture. It's a mirror reflecting how we've organized societies, justified wars, and decided who belongs and who doesn't. From ancient temples to modern factory farms, the humble pig has been there, revealing uncomfortable truths about human nature itself. We share more with pigs than we'd like to admit. Both species are omnivores who chose intelligence over specialization. While other hoofed animals evolved complex stomachs for grass digestion and long legs for speed, pigs, like humans, kept simpler digestive systems and invested in bigger brains instead. This parallel path made pigs remarkably adaptable, thriving wherever humans settled. The pig's snout is a sensory powerhouse, functioning almost like a fifth limb to detect underground foods inaccessible to other animals. This rooting ability, combined with dietary flexibility and reproductive efficiency, made the Eurasian wild boar ideal for domestication. But here's the twist. Pigs likely domesticated themselves. As early human settlements produced garbage, bolder wild boars ventured closer, with natural selection favoring those less fearful of humans. Over 2,000 years, these animals developed shorter snouts, smaller brains, and coat colors suited to human preference. This self-domestication occurred independently across China, India, Southeast Asia, and the Near East, creating the foundation for today's diverse pig breeds. As civilizations arose, state systems favored cattle and sheep for long-distance herding, while pigs sustained ordinary people. At Qom el-Hin, villagers feeding Great Pyramid builders ate primarily pork while sending cattle to Giza. Pigs couldn't integrate into imperial distribution, making them symbols of both independence and lower status. Urban life degraded the pig's reputation. Without sanitation, pigs consumed street waste and human excrement, documented from ancient China to 18th century England. A Chinese sculpture from 200 AD shows a combined pigsty outhouse where people deposited waste directly below. Babylonian texts declared, "The pig is impure because it makes the streets stink." When Israelites settled Canaan around 1200 BC, they codified pork rejection into religious law. This became crucial when Greek rulers tried crushing Judaism in 167 BC by forcing swine sacrifice. The books of Maccabees describe brutal executions for refusing pork. Romans, conversely, embraced it extravagantly, creating the famous Trojan pig and distributing free pork to 140,000 citizens monthly by 450 AD. These opposing attitudes would define Western civilization's contradictory relationship with pigs for millennia. When Rome collapsed, only European wild boars survived to become medieval Europe's staple meat. Medieval societies prized them highly. Salian Franks established 20 pig laws, while Anglo-Saxons valued them at twice the price of sheep. Forests were measured by pig capacity, wood for 100 swine in the Doomsday Book. As forests diminished between 1000-1250 AD, pigs moved into towns, scavenging human waste. Medieval courts tried and executed pigs for attacking children. One French sow was dressed in human clothes and hanged upside down, the same humiliating execution reserved for Jews. Christianity placed pigs at the bottom of its animal hierarchy, with the Judensow depicting Jews suckling from a sow. In post-Reconquista Spain, eating pork became the ultimate test of Christian faith. Columbus's 1493 expedition brought Spanish pigs that proved crucial to conquest. Within 2 years on Española, all the mountains swarmed with them. The Americas had few domesticable mammals, creating an empty ecological niche. Spanish conquests relied on horses for intimidation, dogs for attacking enemies, and pigs as mobile food supplies. De Soto's initial 13 pigs multiplied to 700 in under 4 years. In the New World, English colonists let livestock roam free in abundant forests. American law reversed English precedent. Farmers had to fence crops in, not animal owners paying for damage. Fences needed to be horse-high, bull-strong, and pig-tight, at least 4 feet tall with solid bottoms. This freedom devastated Native Americans. Colonists' pigs ravaged Indian crops, dug up stored grain, destroyed weaving materials, and despoiled shellfish beds. As Narragansett sachem Miantonomi lamented in 1641, "These English, having gotten our land, their hogs spoil our clam banks, and we shall all be starved." American backwoods farmers cleared more land in a century than Germanic peoples had in a millennium, using what geographer Terry Jordan Bichkoff called the four essential elements: corn, axes, fire, and pigs. Around 1800, ambitious settlers transformed this into the Corn Belt, a 500-mile agricultural heartland from Ohio to Iowa. Corn yielded 3 to 6 times more grain per acre than wheat, accelerating westward expansion by perhaps a century and creating one of the world's most productive regions. Cincinnati became Porkopolis in the 1820s, pioneering the disassembly line that inspired Henry Ford. Pigs moved along overhead rails through stations where workers performed specialized tasks in 12-second intervals. Packers used everything about the hog except the squeal, turning bristles, blood, bones, and hooves into brushes, dyes, buttons, and glue. Americans consumed 170 pounds of meat annually between 1900 and 1909, far exceeding Britain's 120 and France's 81. Despite viewing themselves as beef eaters, pork dominated until the 1950s. One physician called America the Republic of Porkdom. In 1986, the industry launched Pork, the Other White Meat, during America's fat phobia era. Scientists had bred pigs so lean and fast-growing that confined animals rarely exercised, making their meat resemble chicken. By the 1980s, pigs never touched soil, living in metal buildings with slatted floors over manure lagoons. 3/4 of sows were artificially inseminated by 2000. A veterinarian visiting a facility found a pregnant sow with a broken leg who would suffer for a week until giving birth, then be shot. When he offered to splint her leg free, the manager refused. With 5,000 sows and 3 employees, they lacked manpower. A 1970s Scottish pig park revealed what industrial farming had stolen. Commercial pigs quickly reverted to wild boar behaviors, spending 6 to 8 hours daily foraging, forming complex social bonds, building communal nests, and displaying strong maternal instincts. Paul Willis rejected confinement after returning to his Iowa farm, partnering with Bill Nyman in the mid-1990s to sell premium pork from outdoor-raised pigs. His network grew to hundreds of farms during the devastating price lows of 1998-1999. Small farmers and chefs now revive heritage breeds like Berkshire and Tamworth. Yet niche meat remains roughly 3% of American pork sales. The obstacle is price. Welfare systems increase costs by at least 30%. As one farmer notes, "You've got the rich farmers feeding the poor families and the poor farmers feeding the rich families." Today's avoidance stems from a troubling awareness: pig intelligence contrasted with brutal treatment. These creatures that domesticated themselves by trusting our ancestors now depend on whether we'll extend that trust back. The question isn't whether pigs deserve better, it's whether we're willing to pay the true cost of dignity.